It is a joy to be with you this morning. We have been sequestered since the last Lord's Day we were together in March. And I'm telling you, it's great to look you eye to eye. Be here singing. We've been with you every Lord's Day and enjoyed these great songs that we sing together under Larry's direction. Been blessed by those tremendous lessons that Brother Dale preaches week after week. And the men that get up behind the podium here and lead us in prayer, help us partake of the Lord's Supper. Like Andy this morning, direct our thoughts to the joy of giving. It is just a privilege to belong to the Spring Meadows Church of Christ. Amen? Glad we can be here today. We've been asked to make an announcement. So very briefly, we'll make this announcement and then direct our attention to one that's really important. As of May 2021, we will begin our fifth year together at the Spring Meadows Church of Christ, and that just blows my mind. For 4 years, we've been blessed to travel 2 hours one way to worship, 2 hours back home to Huntingdon. What you might not know is we've been looking and thinking seriously about moving here. And the Lord blessed us with the sale of our house, and we actually are going to be moving to Spring Hill as of this week on Wednesday afternoon. So how many of you have strong backs? We're actually moving to a one-bedroom apartment to our home in about 6 to 7 months. It's going to be a delight to be here on a regular basis and be blessed by your smiles and the direction that our eldership gives us on our way to heaven. A parable. Parabole. Bole, balo, to throw, para alongside, to throw alongside. A parable was a story that Jesus would tell. He would throw it alongside some spiritual was wanting to make. Are needing to make at the time. Instead of the word parable, today we would use the word illustration. And you've heard Brother Dale use them many, many times. He's making a great point from the Bible, and then he will break from that point and he'll give a tremendous illustration to emphasize the point that he is making. Jesus did that all of the time. They were called parables. Today, I would like for us to think about a parable. In fact, we're going to call it a Christmas parable. It directs our minds from something very familiar this time of the year to some spiritual truths. What does that mean? Back up a little bit. And why do I need to do that? Cut my head off? You're wanting to cut my head off. Gotcha. In 1939, a man named Robert Louis Mays was commissioned to write a brief story. He dreamed of being a novelist, but he found himself writing advertisements for the old Montgomery Ward's catalog. But in 1939, he was commissioned by Montgomery Ward's to write a little brief story, and it took off. It sold tens of thousands of copies. 10 years later, his brother-in-law put that story into lyrics. And it's those lyrics that we want to use for our Christmas parable today. In fact, those lyrics constituted a song that has become the fourth greatest selling single in the history of music. First, there's Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Second, there's Elton John's A Candle in the Wind, 1997 edition. Then there's the conglomerate, We Are the World, and the fourth greatest selling single of all times, well, it begins like this. You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Donner and Blixen, but do you recall the greatest reindeer of all? Anyone 5 years and younger, what is his name? Rudolph. Anybody 50 years or older, what is his name? Rudolph what? The red-nosed reindeer. Now, what we want to do today is take the lyrics of Johnny Marks, Mr. Lewis's brother-in-law, and let each stanza contribute to a spiritual truth that we might glean some value from. There are three things that could be said about Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. And here is the first. By the way, there's Rudolph's picture in 2020. Do you appreciate the mask? Here are three things that can be said about Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. To begin with, Rudolph was very different. Now help me with this in your mind. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had what? A very, very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, what? You would even say, it glows. All of the other reindeer, you see, there was something very different and very unique about Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Not to be coy, not to be anything but respectful, there is a spiritual truth that we want to take that observation and place alongside. Because I want us to know this morning that Jesus Christ, our Lord, Himself was very, very different. In your mind, if not in your New Testaments, turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16. Familiar words. For God so loved the world that He gave His, some translations say, only begotten Son. I know of one translation that says, God so loved the world that He gave His unique Son. And the translator of that particular edition changed it. For God so loved the world that He gave His beloved Son, because of the research that He gave to that word monogenes. In my English Standard Version, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. What do you mean, only son? God has many sons and daughters. I go to Job chapter 1, and the angels are called sons of God. I read in Ephesians chapter 4 that God is Father of all, and He is, in that He has created every single one of us, and yes, in His image. I read in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, you're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. And so all of us as Christians are members of His special spiritual family, sons of God. What does this mean? God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The word translated carries the emphasis of the only one that was like Him. Jesus was different. Now, just for a moment, let's emphasize that. Let's walk briefly through the Gospel of Matthew for three observations. I would suggest that the birth of Jesus was different, made Him special. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, paraphrase, it went down like this. When Joseph was betrothed to Mary, his mother. Before they came together, she was found with child, and the Bible says from, or literally, ek is the preposition, out of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came into our world. Galatians 4, verse 4, born of a woman, born under the law, but born without a biological father. Conceived in the womb of Mary by a miracle that, verses 1 to 11, you read about the temptation of our Lord and how three times in that reading our Lord is tempted by the devil. And all three times Jesus succeeds in overcoming the devil by quoting from his Bible. And then Mark 4, verse 11 makes an interesting statement. Then the devil left him. The word that is translated left is aphiomi. Watch this. It's the same word translated forgive. What? Then the devil forgave Jesus. What does that mean? Well, you see, the word that's translated forgive, aphiomi, is really two words put together to give us a word picture. It's the verb to send, prefaced by the preposition away from. The word that is translated forgive literally means to send away from. And so, as Scott gets up here and talks about our sins being placed at the foot of the cross, literally with forgiveness, our sins have been sent away from us and we no longer bear their guilt. That's the word aphiomi, but that's the word in Matthew 4, verse 11, in reference to what the devil did to Jesus. Then the devil sent him away. I read of parallel accounts to that, and I learned that Jesus turned to the devil and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Matthew 4, verse 11, it's as if the devil is saying, "Well, all right, you get behind me as well." And the devil at that moment had nothing more to do with Jesus, and that because he resisted the temptation. In point of fact, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Ephesians 4, 15. Jesus never said yes to temptation. Jesus never sinned. That was different. And then I would suggest that the death of Jesus was different. If you study the Gospels, you'll find that in the last weeks of his life, Jesus could not get Golgotha off of his mind. And he was constantly referencing it in different ways. He would say different things about it, but he would always include this statement. And on the third day be raised. We come to the last chapter in Matthew, Matthew 28. We look at verses 1 and following. We see it's the dawn of the first day of the week, Sunday. And we have women coming to this tomb, and they're met by an angel. Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus. He's not here. And then the three words in your Bible that are the most important words in all of Scripture, the three words that make a difference in your life: he's not here. For he is risen. You say, Brother Dan, there are several resurrections in the Bible. Yes, there are. There's some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, but no resurrection like Jesus. He was raised to die no more, unlike everyone else that was raised from the dead. Colossians 1:18 calls him the firstborn of the dead. Raised to die no more. Never has that been said about anybody, nor can it be said about anybody until the day you and I are raised to die no more. That was different. His birth, his life, his death. Take pause for a moment. How different are you when compared to all of society? Here's a second thing that can be said about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I come to the next verse and I learned that he was disliked. All of the other reindeers used to do what? They laughed and they called him names. And they never let poor Rudolph what? Join in any reindeer games. He was disliked, wasn't he? It might interest us to know that Mr. Mays received inspiration for this little short story that he wrote in 1939 from the influence that came into his life from another story of childhood. Do you remember the story of the ugly duckling that ultimately became a swan? It was that story that inspired the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But at one time, Rudolph was very disliked by all of the other reindeers, not to be coy, not to be anything but respectful, but the same thing could be said of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In His life, He was very disliked. A few minutes through the Gospel of Mark to see that Jesus was disliked. I would suggest that people did not like what Jesus had to say. In Mark chapter 2, a paralytic was brought to Jesus. You remember that's the time when his friends lowered this paralytic from the roof down into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus turns to the man who couldn't walk and he says, he does those because the devil is inside of him and the devil is empowering him. They didn't even like what he did. And when you turn to Mark chapter 6, they did not like the way he thought. Where does this man get this wisdom? Compare that to the same passage in John chapter 7. Where does he get this schooling, this learning? And the idea was he never went to our schools. He didn't get a Christian education in our academies, in our colleges. He didn't sit at the feet of our famous rabbis. Who gives him the right to think this way? They didn't like what he said, they didn't like what he did, they did not even like the way he thought. Jesus was disliked, and it's that observation that literally sent him to Calvary. Take pause for a moment. Because of the way you live your life, the convictions for which you stand, how disliked are you? One final comparison. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer made a difference. Then one foggy Christmas night or eve, Santa came to say, "All right, you're teenagers, but you're going to have to tell me what Santa came to say." Santa came to say, "Rudolph, with your nose so bright," say it again, Caroline. "Won't you guide?" Did you say the way she said? She did it with swag. "Won't you guide my sleigh tonight?" Then how the reindeers loved him. And they shouted out with glee, "Rudolph made a difference." Don't want to be coy. Don't want to be anything but very respectful. But the same thing can be said, Christ our Lord, can't it? If you walked with me very briefly through the Gospel of Luke, you would find in Luke chapter 5, Jesus taking the time to literally touch. Imagine that. It's the coffin. As a mother is making her way to a second grave. She's a widow, been there once with her husband, and now she's going there with her son. As far as the record says, her only child. He raises the boy from the dead, places her back into the care of his mother. Jesus made a difference in that woman's life. I turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 2, and I read about women that he had, from whom he had exorcised demons and healed of many infirmities, and one is even mentioned by name, and it says, in whom dwelled seven demons. Can you imagine the life that woman who was less than a woman? I should say that lady who was at times possessed by seven demons. Can you imagine the difference that came into her, Mary Magdalene's life, because of Jesus? And I'm here to tell you, He has made a huge difference in my life too. What difference has Jesus made in you? Well, we come to the close of our song and thus our parable. Then how the reindeers loved, and they shouted out with glee. Before I finish, can you think of the last word in these lyrics? Then how the reindeers loved them, and they shouted out with glee, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeers, you'll go down in history. What history are you writing? You see, what is said about Rudolph in comparison is said to emphasize what we could say about Jesus Christ our Lord. But the Holy Spirit through Paul tells us, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2 verse 5. The Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Peter says, He's left us, Jesus, left us an example that we should follow in His steps. In other words, we are to think and we are to live our lives like Jesus. And that means we are to be different. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 1. So how different are you from your co-workers, your neighbors, family members that could be better as sons and daughters of God? How different are you? We are to think, we are to live like Jesus, and therefore we are going to be disliked. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. And that's the only one of the Beatitudes. Go home and read them. The only one of the Beatitudes that Jesus made specific application to His immediate audience. It's as if He says, you want to be happy, be this way. You want to be happy, be this way. You want to be happy, be this way. Oh, and by the way, be happy when men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely. The Holy Spirit through Paul says all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Who does not like you? For which you stand, and because you are so much like Jesus, are you disliked? To what extent? We are to think, we are to live like Jesus, and that means, yes, we are to, we can make a difference in this world. Go make disciples of all the nations. Well, how do you do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go into all the world and preach the good news. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. We can make a difference. Which among your co-workers only to say, we want to give you an opportunity to reflect on your life. Perhaps this morning you're thinking about the new year. You look at your life and you know that you're outside of Jesus Christ. That no condemnation that Scott read about a few minutes ago in Romans 8 is not your blessing. You know that hell is in your future and you don't want it to be. We can help you. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you're willing to change the way you think with repentance, we can immerse you in water this morning. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, all of your sins can be washed away, and you can become more like Jesus at that very moment than ever before. Maybe you're a brother or a sister in our Lord. We love you. We're proud to be members of the same spiritual family, but perhaps there are struggles in your life and you've let them get the better of you. You've been a disappointment.